You're listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller, and today I'm joined by broadcaster and DJ Georgie Rogers for a roundup of the latest music releases. On our playlist, we have a new offering from PJ Harvey, originally recorded as part of an art exhibition in London last summer. We'll have some idiosyncratic indie with Welsh singer Kate Le Bon's new album, and we'll discuss the lost album by the late rapper and producer Jay Dilla, which has finally seen the light of day a mere 14 years after it was recorded. That's all coming up on today's Monocle Arts Review. Georgie Rogers, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about PJ Harvey and her ninth album, the Hope Six Demolition, first. This was the one she recorded last year as part of... Well, she sort of recorded it in public. You could go down and watch her doing it.
Yeah. You could go down and you could watch a snippet of her recording. So whether she was either having a cup of tea and a natter or whether she was actually doing, you know, laying down a riff, laying down a vocal, you could see that. And this whole album is about observation. It's kind of musical reportage. She's reflecting conflict in Afghanistan, Kosovo and Washington, D.C. from a trip that she did to each of these places with photographer and documentary maker Seamus Murphy. So it's quite interesting that the album is all about observation and then that she let people observe her kind of make it, which was...
It does seem a natural progression from the previous album she'd made, Let England Shake, which I thought was one of my favourite records of the last, you know, several decades or so. But it was very interested in warfare and interested in the relationship of the English to warfare. And she seems now then to have decided, well, that she should go and take a look at it, or at least the aftermath thereof.
Yeah, exactly. And kind of go a bit more global with it. I feel exactly the same. It picks off very much where Let England Shake left off. She won her second Mercury Prize for that album. And for this one, the lyrics are quite bleak again. I mean, the subject matter generally is quite bleak. There's a track called The Ministry of Defence. It depicts a bombed out building littered with drink cans and bones and syringes. And then Chain of Keys is about a Kosovan elder who keeps the keys to her departed neighbour's flats in case they come back, and they're not going to come back. It's kind of quite... The imagery of the album is quite... evocative, and that kind of comes with her use of guitars and saxophone and a gospel choir and her really captivating vocals. In this album, again, she's kind of like a medium for seeing pictures, and I felt that it sort of, yeah, my eyes were opened once again, as they were with Let England Shake.
How do you think she went with... Because one of the many, many things I liked about Let England Shake was that it wasn't worthy and it wasn't pious and all those other things that can often be the case when a musician tries to reflect on warfare and big important stuff. But I was a bit braced for this album because I saw the preview of it at the South Bank, I think late last year-ish, in which she played tracks from this album with her band, but it was broken up by slides and poetry and discussion, an awful lot of which was somewhat heavy going.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how she translates this live, because she's obviously playing Field Day and Primavera and playing shows this summer. So I'm interested to see how this translates live, because, yeah, it's kind of heavy as an album, but then there's lighter touches, and it's PJ Harvey being PJ Harvey. There's like the bigger singles like The Community of Hope and The Wheel. And I think it'll be interesting to see how she does it. For me, I found Let England Shake a little bit more immediate as a record. But I feel like with this, I went down to Record Store Day, bought it on vinyl, and I've listened to it a couple of times, and I want to kind of let it bed in more, because I think there's a lot in this album to kind of get to know.
As there usually is where PJ Harvey's concerned, here is one of the singles from the album. This is Community of Hope. Community of Hope by PJ Harvey from the Hope Six Demolition, out now on Island Records, the first choice by today's guest music reviewer, Georgie Rogers. The second one is Kate Le Bon. She is back with a new album, Crab Day. Do we like this, or do we... Just, there's I can see what people like about Kate Le Bon. I can, and indeed I like some of what people like about Kate Le Bon myself, but I just keep thinking at some point she's going to pick up a ukulele and do some 1980s FM rock classic as a commercial, if indeed she hasn't already.
Right, yeah. Okay, I'm going to take that.
This is my concern.
Yeah. So she's a Welsh singer-songwriter now based in LA, and this is her fourth album of, you mentioned the word idiosyncratic earlier. That's kind of the trigger word when it comes to Kate Le Bon. This album is very jaunty, very idiosyncratic.
It's not kooky, is it?
It is. Really? It's verging on kooky. It has its melodic moments. There's a couple of tracks, well, Crab Day and Love Is Not Love. There's saxophones and xylophones, which kind of help with the jauntiness of the record in general. Don't get me wrong, there's some brilliant moments on this album. But for me, I think she's super creative as a musician, and I admire her. Admire the way that she brings personal experience into her writing. There's a couple of things on this album. A dream that she had where she really felt like a recently deceased friend visited her in this dream. And then also the fact that her mum unearthed her birth certificate and admitted that they'd had her birthday a day off for the last 3 decades. And then she wrote a song about it on this album called I Was Born on the Wrong Day. So I like that. She sounds just like Nico, which sometimes I can't get past. It's like
Nico,
you're singing
author
like
of
Nico.
One of the great room clearing albums of all time, the Marble Index. It's always worth having a copy of that around the house, because at 2 o'clock in the morning, when you just want everybody to go home,
it
will have the place emptied within 2 tracks.
Yeah. I think she worked with quite a great bunch of musicians on this album. She had the drummer from Warpaint, Selim Ozgawa, helped her, producer and multi-instrumentalist Josiah Steinbrick. His credits include Devendra Banhart and Hamar Superstar, then Josh Klinghoffer from Red Hot Chili Peppers and H. Hawkline. And she's said that this felt like more like their record than her record. I think, for me, on a personal level, it's not an album I would stick on and listen to much
I
have.
You used the killer word, admired, which funnily enough, I had found myself thinking before about a couple of Polly Harvey's records along the way. You know, that record where you listen to it and you think, this is good and thoughtful and intelligent work and I will never listen to it ever again.
Yeah, that's how I feel about this. It's kind of verging on a little bit too chaotic for me, a little bit too angular. It kind of felt like hard work. And maybe that's just because I'm, you know, today feeling lazy and don't want to put the hard work in. Other people might have a completely different view on it and they might love it and really take it in. But for me, it's kind of a little bit too much like hard work.
Okay, well, let's see if our listeners can stand it. This is Kate Le Bon with Wonderful. That is Wonderful by Kate Le Bon. At the risk of betraying my age, I'm now just thinking helplessly of Lena Lovitch, which I'm not sure is necessarily the desired consequence. That's from her new album Crab Day, which is out now on Drag City Records. That is the second choice of today's guest music reviewer, Georgie Rogers. Finally, we wanted to go a lost album.
Yes.
I'm always intrigued by lost albums because you just think how does a perfectly decent record by a perfectly viable artist end around lying around for what is it 12, 14 years?
Yeah, for 14.
14 years. 10 years after the artist's death, and we're just getting around to hearing it. Jay Dilla, who was an enormously influential and important producer, etc. But bring us up to speed with why he mattered.
Well, yeah, I mean the backstory on this is Detroit producer and rapper. He tragically died from a rare blood disease and lupus. He was 33, and that was 3 days after quite a groundbreaking album called Donuts. And he was apparently making music from a sampler on his hospital bed before he died. And then in the decade that followed, he became this kind of symbol of vision and creativity as a kind of messiah of melodic, scuffed up, sample-based hip-hop production. He produced beats for A Tribe Called Quest, The Far Side, Slum Village, his own work. He influenced everyone from Busta Rhymes to Flying Lotus. And 14 years later, his estate have opened the vaults, as they say. And this album was actually one that he intended to put out. It's an album of him flexing his MC muscles as a rapper. It was sort of intended to be his kind of like debut as a rapper, with all this backstory of the production. So that's what's in the limelight. And then there's beats done by Madlib, Pete Rock and High Tech. And there are some of Jay Dilla's own production in there, which I think are arguably on the strongest tracks. There's two tracks on the record. There's the Gary Newman-inspired Trucks, which uses a sample of Gary Newman's 1979 hit Cars. And it sees the track Julie Pimped. As this is sort of like Pimp My Ride.
But Gary Newman, like Phil Collins, was one of those... He occupies that weird position of being about the least hip-hop artist you could possibly imagine, and yet being extraordinarily beloved among hip-hop artists.
Yeah. And this track is kind of like, you know, if you put the track on Pimp My Ride, it's like a big gold truck of a track, this version of Trucks. There's also Dilla's own flute-looped reboot of his 2001 single, F the Police, on there as well. There's a bit of a G-funk jam with Snoop Dogg on it. There's Soul Moments on a track called The X featuring Bilal. But mainly it's just Jay Dilla being awesome and rapping. And it's kind of nice to see a different side to him. I kind of knew him as the production genius behind some of those well-loved records, but it's nice to hear him. He's a pretty solid rapper.
So do we know where this album has been all this time?
I think there were label disputes and it was sort of sitting on the back burner for a while, and then now his estate have brought it to the fore, and as you said, 14 years later it's seen the light of day, and I think Jay Dilla fans will be hugely excited to hear this record.
Well, here is a track from it. This is from The Diary. This is Drive Me Wild. She said, and then picture me a brand new Escalade, just pulled off the lot. Big ass rims and a 50 wheel, bass banging the box. Take me out on the expressway, let's just drive for miles. I've never been driven, baby, you're the first. Come on, baby, drive me wild. That was Jay Dilla with Drive Me Wild, a track from The Diary, out now on MCA, his great lost record. So of the three albums we have preceded today, and they are quite a varied crowd, the PJ Harvey, the Kate Le Bon, and the Jay Dilla, is there one you would especially recommend?
Of the albums, I'd say PJ Harvey is definitely one to get into. A track or
any one of those three albums. If people had to pick one, you don't have to anymore. You can listen to everything for nothing.
I would 100% pick PJ Harvey. Yeah, of those three, I think that's the most interesting album of the three, and one that I think I'll be listening to a lot more than the other two.
A solid choice. Georgie Rogers, thank you very much for joining us. That brings us to the end of today's show. If you are hankering for more music, then be sure to tune into The Sessions at Midori House, our weekly live performance from some brilliant international artists, the latest of which is with Portland's Finest, although there are those who would dispute that title, M. Ward, available to download from monocle.com now. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Miller. The show was produced by Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow. We'll be talking Theatre with Dominic Maxwell, but for now it's goodbye from me, and thanks very much for listening.